Hi, welcome to the Uncut 90. I am your host, Ruki, here with some of our special analysts today. A bit of a different lineup to the past few episodes, some old faces. So, Carrie, I'm going to come to you.
I am Carrie. I'm back. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Welcome back. Good to have you. Yeah. David, it's been like 10 years. Welcome back.
Since the last time we won the league, but thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be back.
Damn.
Vic, happy new year to you as well. It's been not quite as long as the others, but a little bit
it's
of
been
time.
A long time. It's been a long time. I think I've only done 2 episodes this year. I think it's like the first 2 episodes of the season, but you know, it's good to be back.
Well, you know, you've been going through a lot as a Chelsea fan. We
understand. Outside of that, you know, but still, outside of that, it still feels good to be back. You know, I know you guys are
Last but certainly not least, George.
Hey, Lil Pep, ever present. You guys are not, you know, I'm always going to be here, so you're not going to miss me. Unlike the other people, wow. I'll always be present. So, yeah.
Well, your presence is a gift to some.
Yeah. No, to everyone. People want to hear my voice. They want to hear my takes.
Who are the people?
Yeah. Don't worry about the people that listen. Leave comments. You read the comments on the podcast? Leave comments. Like, we need more of George.
So, yeah. You say we need
more
of
George. You know who we're not getting more of?
Vic.
I'm going to start off this episode with Klopp's resignation. That's who we're now getting more of.
Please, let's not even start
Klopp's
there.
This is where we're starting. It's Klopp's final season in charge at Liverpool. He came out end of last week, released a video, you know, said that he no longer has any energy. David, I'm going to come to you. Was this news shocking to you? And how do you feel about him kind of announcing this in the middle of the season?
I'm very surprised that he's actually stepping down. There's a lot of rumors as to why. I think for Liverpool, it's going to be a big blow because Klopp literally came and revolutionized the club. Like when I saw the first lineup that he came in with, he's done a fantastic job. One of the greatest all-time managers in the Premier League. I am surprised, very, very surprised. Allow me to put some rumors here. So I heard Liverpool signed up for this, this Amazon show or this show behind the scenes. And there's a clip of Klopp saying that if they ever do that, he's going to walk. And I think a couple of months ago, we said Liverpool actually went ahead and they're going to do that behind the scenes. I forget the name if someone remembers
like
on the panel.
Kind of like the all or nothing
yes,
kind of series. That,
yes, something
City
like that.
And...
Yeah, something like that. But in the middle of the season, I'm surprised, but Klopp has this relationship with his team where I saw an interview where he says they take it year by year and anything can happen in the season. So I think that it might be strategic for him. Liverpool is flying. I could see him returning in the future, not like, oh, next season, pulling like a Tom Brady or something like I'm retired. Like, I could see him returning in the future, but I can see the toll it takes on him. The man manages with everything he has. So, like, I am very surprised, but, you know, we'll see what comes out of it. I think that there's more reading, there's more there, if I should say.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Vic, he, you know, came out and said that he's not planning on, you know, managing again, maybe ever, anytime soon. Was that surprising to you? Do you think that he can really step away? Because he's still a pretty young guy, so I don't really know. Like, if he doesn't manage, what does he do?
Well, honestly, I do not know, man. I don't want to be a negative person, but hopefully Klopp is not dying and he's trying to like just, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hopefully, you know, get the best exit that he can get in the EPL, you know, having them, you know, dashing wins and shit like that. But honestly, I don't know what he would do, you know, because having Klopp in the league was really, I think he really brought a different type of edge, you know, to for the league especially. You know, we had a manager was actually pushing, you know, a specific team, you know, every season. Even though, yes, one season he really fell off, which was last season. But this year, he's really shown that, yeah, he's one of the top managers in the world, you know, if not top two right now. I'm guessing top two right now in the world.
You're stretching, bro.
I said if not top two. I didn't say he is. Probably is, or maybe top five this, you know, in this football era. So it'll be hard to, you know, not have him in the league next season. I don't know who's going to coach Liverpool. I don't know what direction they're going to go in, but hopefully he comes back soon. Not soon, but like hopefully he comes back, you know, sometime in the future and, you know, gives us an actual reason why, you know, he left. Hopefully it's not health reasons and it's just personal.
Yeah, hopefully not.
And, you know, comes and gives us like the actual reason why he left. I'm sure he probably wouldn't, but, you know, hopefully we get like an actual reason why he left. But well, I wish him luck in his new endeavors. Whatever he plans to do with his life, you know, God granting that grace. Yeah.
Amen. George, I'm going to come to you because there's been a lot of chatter in the media about how Laporta has always wanted Klopp at Barcelona. I'm not saying, you know, there is also the news that Xavi is also resigning from his post at the end of this season. Obviously, I don't believe that Klopp would take over Barcelona come the end of the season. It seems like he really does want to take time off. But how do you feel as a Barcelona fan with the potential of Klopp maybe coming in another year or two, knowing that this is something that Laporta wants? Do you think that he fits the Barcelona identity?
I don't know. I don't think he's like a Barcelona type of manager, to be honest. Like, I don't think so. I don't even think we have the players right now to play the kind of football that he wants to play. Like, that gang person thing, I don't think we have the players for that. I heard the rumors too, but I think it's just one of those where, like, you know, the Spanish media is just trying to, like, you know, write about something, like, you know, just put something out there because, like, they have to get paid. They have to put some story out there. But I don't think Klopp is a guy that Laporta wants. If anything, I see him going to... He's more of a Madrid manager than a Barcelona manager, if I'm being honest with you. But, like, the manager that I know that Laporta wants is Hansi Flick. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that I know for a fact that, like... Because he even tried to get him before he got Xavi. So he's someone that I see Laporta trying to replace. Have him replace Xavi. But, like, I don't think it's Klopp. Like, he's a good manager and all, but he doesn't quite fit. Like, he doesn't fit Barcelona. We don't have the players for that. Like, we don't. Like, we don't have players who are just going to be running. Look at the injuries that our guys are racking up. Like, we don't have the players for that. So we need something less intense and more, like, tactical. In that sense, like, you know, more movement of the ball and not running, like, players will get tired. We're not used to that. So I don't see that happening.
Okay. And while I am still with you, how did you feel with the announcement of Xavi's resignation? Were you surprised? Do you feel like it was the right thing? Do you feel like he was going to get sacked anyway? So he's just kind of resigning as a way for him to save face, because it did feel like it came out of, well, not nowhere, obviously, with the, let's say, turbulence that Barcelona has been facing under his tenure. But I mean, it's a big deal for someone to just say, hey, by the way, end of the season, I'm done.
Yeah, so Xavi came in at a time where, like, you know, the club was pretty much dead. Like, we could not sign players. You guys were there. We couldn't sign players. We had to pull levers and whatever and use that to sign players. You guys were there. You made fun. If some people even said a club was going to exist, it's not going to exist right now. But, hey, here we are. But, like, he came in at a very, very tough time. And he did quite well. Because I remember when he came in, we're ninth in the league. And he somehow helped us to finish second with the likes of Adama Traore and Aubameyang and all those guys. So he did a really good job. The next season, he won the league as well and won the Spanish Super Cup. So he's done well. Like, he's done really well, and shout out to him. But I feel like it's just one of those where after you win the league, we expect you to improve. We expect more. Do you understand? Because now the squad right now, I feel, is better than the squad that he had when he won the league. But for some reason, we are playing the worst football. Like, you know, we're like, there's no style. There's no, like, what's the plan? Like, you've been here for, like, 2 years. And Pep came out. Pep came out this week and said, listen, when you're managing Barcelona, it's not just about, like, winning. It's not just about results. Like, you have to, like, you know, people have to enjoy what they're watching. Like, you get. But, like, a lot of times you watch Barcelona, it's not the Barcelona of old. But then you watch other teams like Girona and the likes. You're like, yo, why are they playing that kind of football? Why can't we do that? Do you understand? They're using our blueprint. Why can't we play that type of football? So I think Xavi is just one of those where we expect growth. And I feel like he needs, like, you know, he came from Saudi Arabia. And then he came straight into the Barcelona role. So I think maybe he needs to go and also, like, you know, learn more.
Grow a little bit.
Like, yeah, just learn more and then come back. And also, like, you know, like, right now it's just like the team is stagnant. Like, even after he came out to his told everyone that he was resigning, the game against Osasuna, I'm like, God, it's the same old shit. Like, you expect the players to have some type of reaction, but, like, it's the same old shit. You're like, all right, man, you've done your part. Like, we appreciate you, we love you. Like, you're a legend in the game. But, like, we have to, like, you know, we have to improve. We have to move on. So I don't mind. Also, like, not
so almost kind of like how United fans feel about Ole. You're a legend at the club, but just not manager material for the club.
Nah, I wouldn't say that. Like, the thing with Xavi, too, is Xavi, the thing is, people keep forgetting, but Xavi actually won the league. Like, people keep comparing Xavi to Arteta, Ole, and the likes. But Xavi actually won the league. Those guys, they don't have any trophies. Do you understand? The thing with Xavi, like, one of the reasons why I feel like maybe this season he's also really struggling is because we don't have a DM. Do you understand? It's the first time Busquets left the club in, like, 15 years. We had no replacement to Busquets. Do you understand? So it kind of, like, you guys see how Man City plays when Rodri is not present. So I think a part of me feels like, okay, maybe, you know, if we had a DM, it might be a little different. But also, I'm like, come on, like, you have to figure out a way. You knew that going into the season. You have to figure something that works out.
Yeah.
But it's just whatever.
Okay.
Like, did his part. Appreciate him.
Carrie, I'm going to come to you to close out this Klopp topic. Were you surprised by the announcement? And then my question to you is, where do you rank him in the, you know, greatest managers of the Premier League era?
Yeah, wow. Like, I was quite surprised, you know, like, because they're first, right? They had a rough year last year, and suddenly this season they find themselves in first position. So, a manager saying he's leaving, like, everyone is wondering, like, what's the real reason? But after him saying, yo, like, I'm just gassed, you know, I don't want to keep doing this at the same level that I do it, you know, how emotional he is on the sideline, how emotional he is with the fans, you know, you see, I can see that taking so much out of him, and maybe he just decided I need a break, you know, I don't know, they've... They've done the Amazon thing before. Didn't they follow them that the Champions League year or the year before after that? You know,
I don't believe so.
Okay. I just feel like maybe Liverpool had done some, you know, documentary style stuff before. So, I mean, I don't know if a manager like Klopp says, yo, I don't want to do this. The club, I feel like, should respect that. Like, this guy won the league and Champions League after how many years? Yeah, he haven't won since 89.
Sorry to cut you off. But I heard, like, for the next 3 or 4 months, they're going to record his journey. Like, they're pretty much going to put cameras behind the scenes.
Yes.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, maybe that was not the case. If you're like, if they're going to do it anyways, like, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was like, oh, like, that was not the reason, pretty much. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think that's the reason either. I think maybe he's actually genuinely tired. And I think maybe the news was going to come out somehow. Maybe some people knew, maybe it was going to leak. And maybe he was waiting till the end of the season, or, you know, because it happened at the most random time, like, you know.
Right.
So I feel like maybe some news outlet had got a story on it, and the club just decided, yo, let's just come out and say it, you know, let's just come out and. So it's sad for the EPL. He's a great guy to watch on the sideline. He's a good manager. Very, very competitive guy. Very, very energetic. Brought Liverpool back. Literally, I mean, these guys are first right now. So I think the league will miss him, and Liverpool especially is you see what happens. You see what can happen when you lose a good manager that's been there for over, what, 9 years, 8, 9 years, you know, in recent history.
Mm-hmm.
Ferguson left, United in shambles. Wenger left Arsenal in shambles for a minute till Arteta came and steadied the ship a bit. So, you know, and then Liverpool, before him, hadn't won the league in 30 years or so.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see who follows up and see how Liverpool does post club. But like, I just think he's really gassed. I believe him when he says he's gassed. And there's what is it gonna do? There's more to life than football. That's, you know, it's like, it sounds crazy, but maybe the guy just wants to chill, wants to travel, you know, he just wants to do whatever, chill with
his wife.
He's still chill with his wife, you know, there's, I don't know, and then maybe come back later and manage Germany or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's more, it's a more relaxed position being the manager of the country. But
yeah,
maybe he's like, he's what? I think he's 59, approaching 60. Maybe it's like a, yeah. So maybe he's like, yo, when I turn 60, man.
He's
56.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe he's like, yo, I just want to. Yeah, 56 is still young, though. I feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each his own. He feels like he doesn't have enough gas to manage the way he manages, you know, how much he puts into it. And he lives with an incredible record, you know, at Liverpool, you know, Dortmund, Mainz, everything. So he's free to make whatever choice he wants to make. If he wants to go chill, he can go chill. So he'll be missed. He'll be missed. You know.
Vic, I am going to come back to you. We are done with this Klopp resignation conversation, but we're going to stick with Liverpool. Liverpool versus Chelsea. They played yesterday. Score was 4-1 to Liverpool. Do you feel as though Chelsea got cheated out of two penalties?
I don't know. I don't. I didn't watch the game. I don't know if I thought. I know I told you this in text. After the first goal,
you watched the beginning of it.
I watched the first.
You saw the first penalty shout.
So for Chelsea, yes, I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw that, and honestly, the first, I don't know how many minutes of the game I watched on the first. I don't know if it was the first 10 or the first 15, or even the first 5. I think we had good ball movements that first 10, 15 minutes that I watched. If it was 10, 15, honestly. And once I saw the calls that was going against us, I just knew that, you know, this is not a game I actually want to waste 19 minutes of my life on.
Oh.
And I'm actually serious. I just knew that the way the game was going to go, we were bound to lose it. We haven't lost to Liverpool in how many games? I know I told you, what, 5 or 6 games. Also, of the FA Cup penalty shootout that we lost and the Carabao penalty we lost. It's always a tough game with Liverpool. We've always known that. We always have a tough game with them. And even the way we started, we knew it was going to be tough. We're playing well. Liverpool was actually playing well as well. It wasn't like a, you know, Chelsea was dominating our first 5 minutes. No, we're both playing well. Nunes was out there shooting shots from outside of the box for no reason. And if Nunes is shooting balls outside of the box for the first 5-10 minutes of the game, then you know that there's a big problem that's going to happen in the game. And the first goal goes in. That was a good goal from Jota. I can't even cap. Bad defending from Thiago and Badiashile. And
Badiashile,
That was a good goal from him. I can't even, you know, argue that one. Scores the goal. Once that goal goes in, and I see that ref smiling, I was like, yeah, man, Chelsea's losing this game. Whatever call that's going to come for us is definitely not going to come for us. So I didn't even waste my time watching the game. So the whole 4-1, I know I saw the scoreline at the end. You know, I saw the scoreline 4-1. I was like, yeah, you know, this is definitely the handwork of some farewell tour that they're trying to, you know, build up and make it feel like a competition for the end of the season with Arsenal, Liverpool, and City. It's going to be a tough one. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having a competition in the league, but if you want to do that, actually, at least make it fair. If you're going to give the calls both sides. I know you sent me the Nkunku penalty. Yes, today. I saw that and I was like, yeah, man. This is not even football anymore. This is a joke. You know, I know, yes, Chelsea is bad. I'm sure we didn't play that good yesterday. I don't know how the game went the other half of the minutes. I'm sure we didn't play that good. You know, but even if we didn't, I'm sure those guys at least put in some effort for us to get some calls in the game. There was even a call in that first 10 minutes that I watched against Cole Palmer in the midfield where they actually fouled him, took the ball, turned around and kept on moving. And Paul Tierney was just looking at them and just kept the game going. And then gave Caicedo a yellow card for an open tackle, clear open tackle that he took the ball from, I think it was Luis Diaz. Did the same thing to Enzo. It just felt like the game was going to be rigged at the end of the day, and I just didn't waste my time. Congrats to Liverpool for winning. I'm not going to take anything away from them, but, you know, I'm sure the game was way, way, way to their advantage, and they took that advantage and kept on running with it. So congrats to them. Maybe when I have time, I'll go and watch the highlights. This past couple of days for me has really been tough, but I haven't had the time to, like, go and watch the highlights of that game, of the Chelsea game. So when I go back, I'll go back and see what really happened in that game and, you know, be the judge. But that first 10 minutes, I think that was enough for me to just, you know, not waste my time watching the game. And I'm sure this other guys will probably have better insights as to how the game went, because I'm sure they watched it.
George, I'm going to come to you about this game. One of the interesting comments that was made, actually, by one of the commentators while I was watching yesterday regarding, I think it was the Gallagher penalty shout, was that sometimes in the VAR room, they don't want to over-referee. Or, you know, kind of overrule what the referee's decision is on the pitch. For me, that kind of gave a side eye, because then what is the point of VAR if it's not to make corrections? What are your thoughts on that? Did you feel like it was a penalty?
To be honest, I didn't watch the game. I didn't get a chance to watch the game.
To our listeners, I'm sorry. I got to vet our analyst.
No, it's not. There's no apology. Listeners, don't be upset, man. I'm not apologizing for anything. I wasn't gonna waste my time watching that game. George, I'm sure George was probably still working. David was probably still working. Was probably also still working. No, some people can work and also watch that game. Okay, so David will give us insights. So David, George, go ahead. Sorry for cutting you off.
Nah, man, I didn't. My whole thing is I heard people were saying, you know, two penalty calls that was not given. I think I saw the one on Nkunku, and it was pretty much similar to the one that Kudus got today. But I don't know. And apparently it was the same VAR guy that gave the Kudus one.
No, it was the Paul Tierney was in the VAR room for the United game.
Just imagine. Just so a ref, sorry, George, I'm sorry for cutting you off. A ref referees a match yesterday and sees the open penalty, doesn't call it, and goes to another game and then calls it.
Yeah, well, and it was a different penalty that he gave today, actually, to Wolves.
But apparently, what I'm hearing is it's kind of like similar to this. He gave this kind of. I saw the Jota one. There was one that Jota. I know Jota got a penalty that I heard this guy missed. What's his name? Darwin Núñez. I heard he missed the penalty.
Yeah. George, sorry to.
Yeah, who stepped on? Sorry, George. Who stepped on who? I think it was Badiashile that stepped on Jota, right? Sorry, George. I'm sorry, but they say stepped on Jota, but he gave that penalty. But just go ahead. Let me know. Go ahead.
It's okay, bro. Just drink some water. But I didn't watch. To be honest, I didn't watch the game. I don't want to give insights into the game that I didn't watch. But I didn't watch the game, okay. So maybe just go to David or.
All right. Yeah. We'll circle to David. David, I'm gonna have you hop in here.
Same question
that I asked George. Especially regarding the whole VAR and refereeing thing.
Yes. Sorry to cut you off, Rookie, but I saw that the Premier League says next season the referees will start explaining their decisions to the fans, which I don't know if that's a step forward or a step sideways, because the issue is not for you to explain when we've lost the 3 points. The issue is the consistency of the calls. Like, The one on Nkunku was very similar to the one that was given to the Casemiro. I think Chelsea should have gotten at least one of the two. Because this holding calls, this pulling calls, it's so inconsistent. And watching the Premier League sometimes, it just puts a damper on the game. But I do have to underscore this. So it's a comment that the commentator made. And he was like, it seems like Chelsea need Cole Palmer in four different positions, which sounds about right. Because it's really shocking to me, because right now Chelsea have been battling with injuries throughout the season. Chilwell was not great. That dive that he did was not.
Oh, that dive was horrific.
Yeah, it wasn't it. And you know, but watching Pochettino's Chelsea, I have been struggling because I've always been a fan of Pochettino, the OG Pochettino or Spurs, where they played fast-flowing, counter-attacking, dynamic football. He tries to implement this, but this is the kind of naivety that you have to kind of stamp out. Because when you go to Anfield is not a place that you try to play expansive football and stuff. No. Unless you're like Pep Guardiola, you have to play some sort of structured football where it's maybe we are tight at the back and we try to hit them on the counter-attack. I want to talk about United. When we went to Anfield and played that disgraceful 0-0 game, even in that game, we had some counter-attacking opportunities. And that's the setup that we went with. Ten Hag is not the most tactically adept manager, but he kind of saw that, yo, we took 7 here some time ago. We have to change this. In terms of Liverpool's play, I mean, Lord Nunez was doing everything on the field. He's just an exciting player to watch. But one person I need to shout out is Conor Bradley. Because when I saw the lineup, I was like, wow, Trent is not playing. I'm not sure if any of you know if it's because of an injury or I don't know why he didn't start.
He's returning from injury, yeah.
Oh, he is. Okay, cool. But that kid was absolutely fantastic. Played a wonderful game. I'm excited to see him. I love to see players like him come in. But I want to talk about Chelsea's, some of their recruitment, like, for the people who are.
Before you go into Chelsea's recruitment, that was actually my next question, and it was for you, actually. My question was Caicedo worth the money that was spent on him?
Caicedo is a fantastic player, but the money it all follows after Declan Rice went for 100 million. And, you know, when Liverpool were a little bit, Liverpool were involved too, I guess that increased the bidding war. And Brighton are used to fleecing teams for money. Go and ask for Evan Ferguson, don't mention 60 million to you right now. Like, that's the kind of team they are. They get good players and they sell them for a profit. That's their model. But Caicedo, I think the bidding war, his age, and the potential is what rules, is like what made him slightly overvalued. But I would not say Caicedo is a bad player at all. Same question could be asked for Enzo Fernandez, because prior to the World Cup, we didn't know about him, but he was fantastic. I mean, not that we didn't know about, but we didn't know who he was, like that guy. But he was brilliant at the World Cup, and he went for 100 million too. So we have
115.
Oh wow!
That was his release clause.
Oh, okay, that's a lot. But you have 200 plus million players in the base of the midfield, and you have someone also from Brighton, McAllister and Szoboszlai, and these guys just playing this dynamic club football that is just exciting to watch. They press, they get the ball, they channel it down the wings, they'll cycle it back. Lord Nunez does everything. Don't get me wrong, the guy does a lot of questionable stuff, but you cannot fault his work ethic. And at the end of the day, Klopp just simply picked apart Pochettino's tactics. They could have scored more, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Liverpool. They could have definitely scored more.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They definitely could have scored more. But
Nunez,
I think,
missed
that
a bunch of chances.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where, like, how. Anyway, I'm not even going to go to talk about Nunez. But to have 200 million players, £100 million players in the middle of the field and not able to retain possession of the football, I think it's more of a tactical issue, because I wouldn't say Enzo Fernandez is not good or Caicedo is not good. I think it's more of the balance of the team. It's not there. Like, Cole Palmer is trying to play as a cam and as a left midfielder, trying to create. And he's a young guy. He's literally, he just came into the club. So he just came in, and for him to shoulder that, Christopher Nkunku has been a big miss for Chelsea, because that guy is class, absolute class. Like, every time I watch him, I'm like, well, damn, this guy is really, really good. But to pivot to my recruitment thing, Chelsea signed a lot of players, but most of them were potential players. Now, this is the thing, like, they have a lot of potential to become really great players or pretty great players, but it's a matter of which coach is going to get that amount of time. Because I feel like Pochettino, if they do not, let's say they don't win the Carabao Cup or they don't win anything, which is a possibility, he's going to be under the cosh. I see people say Mourinho should come back. Some Chelsea loyalists should come back. I don't know how Vic you feel about that. But that recruitment strategy, because some players were signed before him and all of that. So it's like, right. I don't know what they are trying to work out. But in terms of Liverpool, they look like the real deal. Liverpool is, Klopp has changed the mentality of the club. That game was a really great watch as a neutral, because I don't support either of the teams. But it was a fantastic performance from Liverpool. But Chelsea, I don't think even Nkunku needs another striker in front of him for him to, like, link up with and play. I don't know who they're going to sign, because I see Breuer is now going to, or may have gone, to Fulham. Yeah. The left side of the midfield, Mukhtar Mudryk did the same thing he did at Old Trafford, where there was a chance, I believe it was 2-1, and it was squared to him, and some just controlled the ball, tapping the back of the net. This guy was fantastic when I saw him in the Champions League. I don't know what's going on, and he's another $100 billion player. So I think Chelsea might be going where United is, where we sign players, and it's like the coach has
not any clear direction.
Yes, into their tactics. And right now, these players were signed for 8-year contracts, 7-year contracts to pay off. So it creates this kind of condition. Because if you have, like, a coach like Mourinho who comes in, and he, you know, that guy, he's like, he's going to say things. He's like, oh, let's sell this guy that you guys just signed for $70 million, or not Mourinho. I'm just using it as an example. I don't know what's media. It's going to create this thing. So Chelsea's in this interesting position.
Actually, really happy that you brought that up, because I saw today, and I'm going to read you guys this list. Signed until 2030, Sanchez, the goalkeeper. Bad issue, 2030 as well. Petrovic, also signed till 2030. Madueke, Cole Palmer, Malo Gusto, Romeo Lavia, who I think we've only seen him play once so far. Ugo Chukwu, Andre Santos, who they loaned out again today, 2030. David Washington, we haven't seen him play. I don't remember where he is on loan, if he's on loan. Also 2030. And then signed until 2031. We have Mudryk, Fernandez, Caicedo, and Jackson.
Yeah. So I don't know. Jackson is injured too, right?
And even him, currently, yes.
Yes, and even him, there's question marks. His first season, right. His finishing is not the best, but overall, he contributes to the team. So this is where
Pochettino, in terms of recruitment, you're absolutely spot on there.
Yeah, I am looking at it, and it reminds me of United a lot. Not to bring it back to United all the time, but we did this last thing. We are still doing it. We just did it. But it's an interesting position Chelsea's in. If I was Poch, to save my job, you have to prioritize that Carabao Cup and try to win it, and try to least make Europe. Because some of the football they play, it has naivety in it. It has lack of tactical discipline in it. Like, you cannot outscore the opponents. If you have, let's say, you have a really great team where they had, Son Heung-min, Dele Alli, Eriksen at that time, where they were that, you could do that. But this is a new team. You may have to adjust a little bit. But for Chelsea, I think that 4-1 result was, it's not good, but it could have been worse. And even at Old Trafford, you saw the same thing. You know that United only turns up at home, and there was too much space. When against a low block, United is next to useless. And they gave us a lot of space and allowed us to play very pressing football. So there is some alarm bells there. First season, don't want to say too much, but there's some things that need to be looked at there.
Yeah. Well, like you said, as a neutral, it was definitely an entertaining game. Again, I feel like some of those calls were, questionable. But I feel like we're going to see. It's the Premier League. When does that not happen? Which game week does that not happen, unfortunately?
It's such a shame to watch.
Carrie, I'm going to come to you. We're going to switch gears and go to AFCON. All of the favorites have been knocked out of AFCON. Do you think that maybe this time around we'll get first-time winners?
Let's see. No. I don't think that. Because, Nigeria has won it a couple times before. And I believe they're still in the tournament, right?
We are, baby.
Exactly.
We are not.
Wow.
Exactly. And then there was a question I was thinking about the other day. I'm glad you asked me this. I wanted to ask some of my Ghanaian friends, in your lifetime.
No.
In your lifetime, have you ever seen your country lift a trophy?
Oh, wow.
An AFCON, an Olympics under
Disney, do you want to answer
have,
that?
I have. We beat Brazil, Ghana under 24 in the World Cup. Under 21 in the World Cup. When we had, I forget that game, that guy went to AC Milan afterwards.
Fine. Yeah. Since you have, how about an AFCON?
I have.
Wait, actually, I have a question. Unfortunately, it cannot be answered by the one person who I want to answer, which is Ernest. Ernest, I know that you're going to listen to this episode. You still have not answered my question. My question is, did Ghana win a single game during this AFCON? David, I'm going to have you answer.
Ask George, too. He's an honorary Ghanaian. No, anything else is rubbish.
Spanish and Argentinian.
Thank you. Thank you.
See, Rookie, after I watched that Ghana-Uruguay game, the last World Cup, people were saying revenge, revenge. We got another penalty and missed that one. After that, I don't know. I really, really do not know what we are trying to do. But what we are trying to do, we are doing it. So, yeah.
You didn't answer my question. My question was, did Ghana win a game during AFCON?
I mean, when the goal, the defenders are assisting the other strikers, there's no way. There's no way.
Your answer is no, Ghana did not win it. Thank you. Okay. Wow. But no, Carrie, in all seriousness, Carrie, do you think that there's potential for another country outside? I know that you want to, you know, ride for your country of Nigeria, yeah. But, you know, everyone thought Morocco was going all the way in. They got smacked up by South Africa.
Yep.
Sorry, y'all. It's been a long day.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, a new country could win. I think Angola, you always have to watch those guys. I remember, when was it that Angola beat us? I think it was in one of the qualifiers for World Cup.
That was 2006.
Yeah, and it was just, I remember... Yeah, it was. I remember going to the game in Abuja, the last game. I was hyped. I was like, if Angola lose, we'll go through if we win. We did win that match, but Angola kept it up, won their match, and they qualified. So they can definitely beat us. Nigeria is not a serious country, you know. Mm-hmm. We know that anything can happen in these kind of matches. And for some reason, I don't know if it's that more countries, their players are getting exposure in like different European, if it's not the big European countries, maybe like they're traveling and playing elsewhere, you know. But it just seems like there's more parity in, you know, in AFCON this last two episodes. So I mean, anything can happen. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Guinea in like the knockout stages, you know. So
yeah,
Cape Verde, like, come on, people go there for holiday, you know, you go there to swim. So like,
and you can't count on Ivory Coast. Yeah, they haven't had a great showing, but they are the host nation, you know. Maybe they can bring it home in Abidjan. So
it's I haven't watched a lot of it so far, but I think the knockout stages, I have to tune in because, you know, support the boys. But yeah. It'll actually be nice to see a new country win it, you know. And
it won't be nice, please. Let's not be saying rubbish. It should not be nice to see another country win it, you know. I need my country to win this thing because there's some trolling I need to troll this week.
Oh, wow.
Not this week, but next week. Not just next week, but upper week until the game is over.
Until the following AFCON.
Yeah, we can troll for 2 years.
Please, I beg. We need to do something.
Oh, and also, if Nigeria win, I think we equal Ghana. Ghana has four, right? Yeah, Ghana has four
from their past yes, ancestors. Exactly. Yeah.
I believe the last time Ghana won, I don't want to bring it back to this, but it was like in the 70s or something.
Wow.
You know,
just
that's
now, if Nigeria makes it to the final, If Nigeria makes it to the final, all of Africa will be hating so hard that day.
Oh, like, no.
It
how,
will only
how?
Be oh, the grace of this. God.
It's going to be Nigeria versus yeah. Africa. I just know it. Whoever
literally,
we're playing against, it's
going to
be
like
Nigeria
like, this is the, no.
versus
I feel
Africa.
Like this is in you guys' heads, man. Like,
David,
going?
Let's be honest. We lost the qualifiers in the World Cup. And we saw the brunt of it. We did not
exactly
because you lost
I
to Ghana.
Know.
Because you lost
I
to Ghana.
I know it's literally Nigeria against the world, but
exactly
we'll see what
that.
Happens. George, I'm going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
We are now past the halfway point in the season. Liverpool is leading the league by 5 points. They look like they are unstoppable. Jurgen Klopp has announced that he's leaving. You know, he's their savior from the past 30 years. He brought them glory again. Glory, glory, not United. Is the league Liverpool's to lose, or do you expect a charge from City and Arsenal?
Please, take the last team out. It's from the start, it's between Man City and Liverpool. It's always been like that. It's always continue being like that, right? The only thing
it's
is that,
always,
huh?
It's not always.
I mean, after Klopp leaves, then that's why I feel like Pep needs to leave as well to balance.
Yeah, he needs to
balance the league, because at that point, like, who's gonna compete with him? Absolutely no one. Do you understand? It's not Liverpool's to lose. I think the title belongs to Man City. They're going to win it. But they were like, I don't know, with this whole conspiracy that because Klopp is leaving the league, we'll try and give him a farewell. I saw them do it. They did it. They did it in 2019/2020 season. Do you understand? They handed him the trophy.
Null and void the league.
Exactly. So they did that. So I don't know. Maybe they'll try this time, but I don't think, like, nah. I think when Salah comes, like, right now, I don't know if you guys are supposed to notice. Like, Liverpool is playing very fluid without Salah. It's weird, but like I feel like they're more fluid without Salah. Maybe it's just me, but maybe Salah comes, Salah will disrupt them a little bit. But also, like, they're playing Arsenal this weekend. They could, you know, they could lose that game or they could win that game. Whatever happens, I just feel like their next couple of games are very, like, it's very hard.
I see.
So, yeah, I don't see them winning it. Man City is going to win it. They're only getting better. I feel like, when was the last time Man City lost a game? I think so. It's like they started at their streak. It's going under the radar, but they started at their streak. So we'll see how long they do this.
Okay.
But yes, it's Man City.
So it's still up in the air for you.
No, it's Man City.
No, he said Man City.
Okay. I tried to you know, make it as nice as possible, but okay. David, coming to you, our resident Marcus Rashford stan.
Oh, God.
Rashford was dropped for the game against Newport for apparently, you know, allegedly being hungover, so he missed training. He's since apologized for his actions, but it wouldn't be honest of us to point out that Rashford this season has been underwhelming. What are your thoughts? Do you think there's a little more to the story there? He's going through some stuff, or hopefully, you know, this incident, he's going to kick on and improve over the rest of the season.
First off, to say this, I love Rashford for reasons that I think I should clarify. Yeah. But like I'd love Rashford because like he's from Manchester. Like, you know, Manchester United want things to dare is to do, like young players coming through the academy doing their thing. Rashford came in on the scene, he's like, hey, if they give me a chance, I'll show them I can do it. Like, this guy's a community guy, like he's like the guy's a stand-up guy, but this is the issue, though. When he was hanging out with the likes of Lingard and Pogba and all this debauchery and whatnot, the culture at the club, yeah, he's not going to break through the glass ceiling that he's at currently. if he doesn't get his head on straight. I was very annoyed to see that club picture because, first off, you just got a $300-something contract and you try to Aubameyang us. Like, you don't do that. Like, you don't do that. Like, and this is the thing, though. Rashford, I think the reason why he keeps coming back is that the board backs him. They know that the locals love him and anything. He's been underwhelming, and his body language is alarming. Yes, you can put in poor performances. That's it happens. Players go through things. But he's 26 now. And to be going out to a nightclub and calling in sick and whatnot, Mohamed Salah would not do that. Kevin De Bruyne would not do that. I'm not putting him on that level. But like the top earners.
Those are fair.
At their club would not do that. And the things at the club are tumultuous right now. So to see that, I was very, very disappointed. Like, he needs to, okay, you say your girlfriend and you are going through issues, I think 2 years ago, and it's affecting your mental health. It happens. Some people go through divorces, breakups, and they are not the people that they were, and it affects their work performance. But my message to him, and I think Alan Shearer also said this, is that he has to wake up before the talent that he has is gone. He has the natural ability of pace, whatever, all of that, like, he can shoot.
It's just pace. That's it.
Like he can. He has the ability, and when ever since he's been coming through this, the culture United. Yet my thing I've kept repeating is that we need somebody to like mold him, like to get him like to work on developing his strengths and to build him up. Ten Hag did that last year. Ten Hag is a great. I don't know that word. I'll say coach for. Coach, and he can work with young players. That's his thing. Yeah, so last season he improved. But after the contract, his mind went astray. This season, I think he's picking up slowly. He scored today. he scored today. And it seems like he only responds when his back is against the wall, which I find troubling. Rashford only shows up when people are like, nah, this guy should be dropped. Like, when people are on his back and he does that, I saw his celebration once when he scored against Spurs. He slid and he was like, keep talking and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Play the football. Like, you are the guy that you're looking to. Because a lot of United fans want him sold at this point. They are like, you should cash in on him right now and something. But I think if you send Rashford to another club and he's not like the main guy you are whatnot, he would perform. If you put him in another team, let's say, for instance, at City right now, someone like Jeremy Doku and them, you might not see Doku for 2 games. You see injured or anything, or nah, he's just on the bench. Like, that kind of environment where you're just a player in the system, it will be good for him. But currently, I, as a fan of him, I think that he has work to do. He needs to put his head down and do the work because what I'm seeing in body language, I don't like it. He has to be the one who's bigging Garnacho and the young guys up because you are no longer young, Rash. You're now 26. So it's time for you to take on some leadership and maturity in the team.
Since it's been a while that we've had you on the podcast, really quickly before we move on to someone else, I actually am very curious to also get your perspective on the whole Jadon Sancho situation.
Thank you.
Very brief, nothing too elaborate, but we haven't had you for a while. So just who do you think was in the right in that scenario? And do you definitely think that him going on loan is the right solution in this case?
So percentage wise, I think that Ten Hag is in the wrong 20% and I think Sancho is in the wrong 80%.
Because oh, this my is a big
This is a question that David is answering. and we are moving on. This is not a group discussion.
We are not doing this. Please let me answer the question.
No problem.
We signed this guy for $75 million. I was excited over the moon for that's what happened. People, Ten Hag's 20% comes from his man management, which he has shown that it's not great. He should not have outed him publicly after a loss against Arsenal that way, making him seem like, oh, he is the reason, like, he is the problem. So that's why Sancho felt like the scapegoat. But people should also remember that Ten Hag is the same guy who gave this guy 3 months off or 3.5 months off to get his head straight. The guy has not been performing. His performances are not great. We have to all be honest about that. And I asked Vic one time, would he take Sancho at Chelsea? Let's say we are selling him for 40 mil. Would you take him at Chelsea? Would you take him at City? Would you take him at Arsenal? Most people, maybe. But I think Sancho himself is along those lines of players that I was just talking about. Those party guys. Like, they don't have the will to become the guy like that person. And at Manchester United, we have a lot of passengers already. And for him to, like, just act like, I'm not going to apologize, I'm going to sit on my ass and not do anything and whatnot, and I'll always fight for the badge. It's all a bunch of BS. Like, you're on 300K or whatever. The guy, he's not the person to take United where we need to go. So I think that the loan, fantastic. We should not even let him come back. Just let him go along with our fire sale. I trust Ineos. They sell drugs. They are pharmaceutical. They have to be serious. Like, they will not let these things happen because people like him, like, doing stuff like that. And that... Okay. With Jadon Sancho, there's a story that just came to my mind. It has to do with Luis Suarez. I don't know if you guys know about the $40 million and $1 bid that Arsenal made for him.
Yes.
$40 million and $1. So that season, they had a thing... kind of non-written agreement somewhat that if Suarez wanted to go, he could go. Yeah, if any bid above 40 million came in, that's why Wenger did that. And when it happened, Suarez was ready to go to Arsenal, but they blocked it. And he had a whole beef, like, with the club manager and stuff. They sidelined him, they put him on the side. They said, bro, you won't play again, blah, blah, blah. Then they had Gerrard go and talk to him and tell him that, yo, bro, just come for this season, apologize, then show up. This is the season, that next season, Suarez came and he banged 31. I think arguably the greatest striker of any. Anyways, we have players like that who can put their pride aside anything and do what they gotta do. But with you, Jadon Sancho, yeah, okay, you don't like the way the manager did it, everything. Then you're like, bro, just apologize and whatnot. You guys could have worked something in the back and whatnot. The guy literally does not care. And that's the thing, he has talent. But the guy, if you have people like that, like, your team can be good, but you will not go to the next level. That's why I was asking, Vic, would you take Sancho at Chelsea? Would he start at Arsenal? Would he start at, maybe he will start at Spurs, or he'll play at Spurs. But Postecoglou doesn't seem like that guy who would tolerate that kind of stuff. So with me, my thing is that I think Ten Hag was in the wrong for going public on that, the way he did it after the Arsenal game. But Sancho, prior to that, and even some ex-players like Matic and stuff, I've already spoken about this lateness and everything. Yep. So, at this point, Manchester United have a lot of issues already. I think taking Sancho out of the equation is just beneficial to everyone involved. And hopefully he can regain some form. This would be like his arc where he feels wrong and he can gain something. But I think United should cash in on him.
Okay. Vic, my last question is for you. Chelsea and United have been both struggling this season. Ten Hag versus Pochettino. Come the end of the season, who do you think is most likely to stay at their club? And who do you think is most likely to leave? Could be both, too. You don't have to, it's not either or. It's just, you know.
Like, if both of them leave or if both of them stay, if one stays and if one leaves. For me, I don't think I don't think anyone is going. I don't think Poch is going to go, honestly. it just looks stupid on the management, because they've given, even before they, even I'm sure this was said, Pot said it before he was even signed. He told them that this project is going to take him, what, 2 years? That was what he told them. So I'm sure this is year one. Year one is about to be over. Year two is going to come up. And I'm sure after year two, there's no progress. He'll leave. So I don't think even for Ten Hag, I don't think he's going to leave either. For Ten Hag, I don't think he'll leave either. Even with the new man that just came into the... what's his name? The old man that just came into the...
Sir
Jim Ratcliffe. I don't think... I know the man, he's coming now. He's brought in a new CFO, CEO, whatever that man is from CEO. The city. Yeah, so... I mean, he's going to do stuff for you guys, but I don't think Ten Hag is going to leave this season. Maybe not this season, maybe next season, if things don't really like show any, if he doesn't show any sign of progress. Yeah, if he doesn't show any sign of progress. I think him and Poch will probably be on the same boat next season. But for this season, I don't think they're going to go.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. Let us hop into predictions for this upcoming game week. There aren't too many crazy games, but there are two interesting ones. And then we've got our, big headliner, Arsenal versus Liverpool. We're going to start off Everton versus Spurs. Carrie, I'm going to come to you. What is your prediction?
Yeah, this would be a very, very good match. And, Everton have been in a spiral. It was like they gave them 10-point deduction, and then they used that. They were galvanized, and then they returned to true self, their true
settings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's give this one to Spurs. Let's say 3-1.
Okay.
3-1. Well, that's a good scoreline.
George, Everton versus Spurs.
It's gonna be close. I'll go with like a 2-1 Spurs.
Okay. David.
I'm gonna say 2-1 as well to Spurs.
Wow. No.
Richarlison goal.
Everton. Okay. It is the Richarlison Derby, so Vic.
I think it's gonna be a draw, man. This is gonna be a draw game. Everton don't look like they're gonna like give up or just lay down and let, because these guys play a really, really high line. They're gonna concede goals for a fact, and it's gonna be like a 2-goal type game. So I'm saying 2-2.
2-2. All right. The next match, Manchester United at home versus West Ham, the David Moyes Derby. George, may I have your prediction?
Yeah, I think United is about to get clapped. Because I feel like that West Ham team, it seems like Kudus has I think he has something against Ten Hag. I don't know what it is. Because I remember like before they played you guys, I think this was like last year. There's this YouTuber in Ghana called Kudus Sheldon. And I think he's very close to Kudus. And then Kudus put under his post that the way he has meant this game, meaning like, he really wants to ball out in front of like United or Ten Hag. I think something happened. Something happened that we don't know.
No, because he obviously wants to come to United and he's like, let me show these guys.
Stop.
I think
mad that we signed Antony instead of
over him.
I'd be mad too.
Yeah, did they ever go in for him though?
Bro, we should have. I'm saying this.
Hey, but sorry, they never went in for him. Was he or is he a United fan? Or was he a United fan when he was a young guy?
I don't know what it was. I mean, Ten Hag signed him for Ajax, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I think there's something there. So I think the guy is gonna ball out. There's a lot of ball outs on you guys. The only thing is that West Ham don't have Paqueta. That's the only thing. But aside that, I'm gonna go with two one West Ham win.
Okay. David, Your prediction?
I'm going for a 3-2 United win.
Okay. Believing in your team. We love to see it.
At home, Vic? United actually tries.
I think it's a 2-1 or a 3-1 game. I'm seeing Kudus at least one goal and assist. Bowen one goal.
Are you? 2-1. Is this 2-1, because 2-1. Of fantasy or this is what you're?
I don't have any of them on fantasy. I don't have Kudus or Bowen.
Okay.
I don't have any. So, but
so 2-1, Kudus, 2-1 West Ham.
2-1 West Ham.
All right, Kerry.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Wolves United today. No, West Ham is going. West Ham is going a minimum of 3 goals because we're starting the game. Onana has given them 2 goals to start the game. So, I do think United would score. So, you know, I'm going to say 3-2 to West Ham. 3-2 to West Ham. Yeah.
Although David is the only one who
I like United. Martinez being back. I think the defense looks better with him in there.
Yeah.
And when he went off, everything just looked crazy. I mean, he had one super goal line clearance. I don't know if you all remember. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, Onana rushes out, punches the guy just like he did. He did
last in the first game.
Yeah, he did. Oh yeah, it was against Wolves too. That happened. Yeah,
it was the first game of the season.
Did it again, punched the guy and left the whole post open, and somehow Martinez clears this ball. So, you know what? Martinez will not even be enough. West Ham will score 3 goals. 3-2.
Okay. All right. And last but certainly not least, the title contenders are, you know, battling it out. Arsenal versus Liverpool. David?
Okwesi. Oh, he's on mute.
Do you have your prediction, please?
Sorry. I think Liverpool is going to win this game 3-1. Liverpool usually does pretty great at the Emirates. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think Liverpool are going to make it 3-1.
Okay. Vic, may I have your prediction, please?
I'm angry at both clubs. I'm really angry at both clubs. I'm really, really upset at both clubs. I hate Arsenal with a passion. I've always hated them from when I was... Okay, I'm kidding. Not from when I was a child, but... After what Liverpool did to Chelsea, man, I want them to do the same thing to Arsenal. So, Liverpool should win this game. I think it's going to be like a 3-2 game.
Kerry, may I have your prediction, please?
Yeah. Liverpool are definitely on a roll right now. And Arsenal, you can't just really trust them. Like, you know, they'll put up a good
fight.
Yeah, but it'll be like Raya will pass to Jota. Like, I just see it. Like, Zinchenko will try to, you know, do like he can come into the midfield and just, you know, some. You know, so yeah, I think this is 4-2 Liverpool.
God damn, bro.
Damn. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
George, may I have your prediction?
No, it's gonna be a tie. It's gonna be 2-2.
2-2.
He needs that draw for City, so I understand why he called it.
Okay. That makes sense, actually.
He really needs Arsenal to win.
He needs.
But he can't even believe that.
He can't open his mouth and say it. Because if Arsenal win, City have to win because they're leveled on points now, right?
Yeah, and then we know
that. That
is the point. So you want Arsenal to win because in May they will draw points 3 games in a row. We know what happens when Ari gets to me. Like,
we know what happens when the pressure is on. Mm-hmm. George, I'm going to stay with you. One FPL player people should bring in this week.
Let me see. Let me see the fixtures. Let me see, and then I'll tell you guys who you need to bring in.
Can I give one to you?
Yes, everyone have yours prepared since George is struggling here.
Yeah, I mean,
if you already have one, go ahead. And...
Can I say one? Yeah, go ahead. I think this Gordon kid from Newcastle, he's playing against Luton, and he's guaranteed at least a goal or an assist.
Okay, Anthony Gordon, you heard it here first, guys. Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, I think you guys should bring in Haaland. If you don't have Haaland, just bring Haaland in.
Can you suggest somebody that, you know, 90% of people don't already have?
Or even can get right now, because everybody left Haaland in. Do you know how people have to move?
I mean, I'm just telling you guys, bring in Haaland. If you don't have Haaland, then bring in...
Kevin.
Bring in Cole Palmer. How about that? That's a suggestion.
Cole Palmer.
Yeah, bring in Cole
Palmer. Everyone has Cole Palmer. 90% of Cole Palmer is like Haaland of last season. No, this is not goals
Chelsea,
wise. Not
Chelsea's
goals
playing
wise,
like, Wolves too. So.
I don't have Cole Palmer. So I don't believe in an average players.
Okay. Wow. Since you don't believe in average players, who do you suggest for FPL this week, Kerry?
Okay, let me see. Who am I suggesting? Suggest that. You can't go wrong with City guys, you know. But I think that Aston Villa's Sheffield game is looking sweet. So I'll go with...
Yes.
I'll go with, like, Leon Bailey.
Okay, that is quite the suggestion. Thank you. David?
Yes. So I will give you guys three. This,
three?
I like where Kerry is going. I think you should bring in Oliver Watkins. Definitely, yes. He's going to score an assist. So I feel that way. Second one is Kieran Trippier. I feel like Kieran Trippier against Luton Town, he's definitely going to get at least an assist. And the third, who's I going to suggest for the third one? No, the third guy I was going to say is that if you want to save some money, do something nice, you should bring in Dominic Solanke.
Solanke, I was going to say that too right now.
The guy has been banging in goals this season. Apparently, he has the most non-penalty goals in the league now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Even Cunha, honestly, that's not a bad pick. Even against Chelsea, I think he still bangs.
Yeah. Because they can popo Chelsea easily.
Yeah, man, that's gonna be a tough one for us. Anybody can popo Chelsea right now. I can't even argue with you. So.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Can I say one more? Eze. I think Eze should be one to look out for.
Mm-hmm. Who's Palace playing this? This
Brighton.
Game?
Brighton just got there.
Oh,
fourth,
yeah. Brighton's been drinking goals.
Yeah, man. So.
Man. Matt, we need to discuss Brighton next episode, actually. We really need to have a conversation about Brighton, but we'll talk about that next episode.
In the fridge.
Sorry?
No, it's all right.
I didn't catch what you said.
No, I said when they open the fridge, there's just bottles of goals in there, so they have to drink it.
Wow. I'm gonna speak with you, Kerry, for your final words, because what is wrong with you?
Yeah, you know, like I have, you know, quite a bit of some final words. Like, so finally, you know, the so-called half sale, quarter sale happened. You know, Ineos, they have come in, United, whatever. You know, I just hope this new regime will stop banking on average players. Please, don't allow... See, when Cantona kicked somebody and the manager stood by him, you stand by him because it's Cantona. Mm. If Rooney is angry that you dropped him and he throws a fit, he wants to do this job, so you have it. That's Rooney. All right? Don't come and fill my timeline and news feed with Jadon Sancho. Like, that's who we're arguing about. That's who the world is talking about, that a manager is on fire for his treatment of Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
And players like Marcus Rashford. What have these guys done?
Yo, what is the EPL turning to, man? It's crazy. Bro,
I feel like soccer in general, doing? Like, why are we giving these average players 300k salaries?
It's
like,
crazy,
why?
Man.
Like, why is Saka on a 300k salary? What has he done in his career?
Saka's good,
Kai Havertz.
Havertz is... Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, let's
let Harry finish his final words.
About to expire, and they give him a new one? Like, come on. So, please, moving forward now, none of this. Don't be asking the manager why Rashford is not playing. He can bench Rashford if he wants.
Like what?
Well, what's the problem?
Like, God.
Is this Messi? Is this what we're talking about? Because he's from Manchester? So, we just need to stop this. We need to stop this. We just need to stop it. Now, just players in general. Like, I look at Chelsea. I see they've spent $1 billion. And people cannot control ball.
Bro.
Cannot win football matches. I don't know if it's pressure, if it's this, but something just needs to happen. We can't be spending. Thank God for FFP. Because I think clubs will realize you can't be spending stupid money again. I want to see this crazy spending stop. You spend money for talent, for real stuff, not just for transfer market value, like, and not just for your social media feed. So that just needs to end. So this second half of the season, you know, let's see a great battle between Liverpool, City, and all you average players, either step up or step out. Like, just don't come and be complaining in the media and crying and be doing blah, 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 thinking you're some superstar. You're average. You don't have the mental fortitude or the enough talent to play the game at a consistent level. So just stop it. And clubs, stop enabling these kinds of players. Simple. Simple. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kerry, for your final words. Vic, I'm going to come to you.
Man, honestly, I'm going to piggyback off Kerry on that Chelsea situation. Man, our game, I don't want to call them, it's a small team. A game against Middlesbrough, Chelsea showed that they can actually move the ball, they can press. I didn't watch the Liverpool game, so I can't really say much. But we need to, like, figure out a play pattern. Enzo and Caicedo, you need to stop living. I feel like Caicedo is getting so much heat, but no one is really looking at what is happening to him. He's being left there in that middle by himself. Enzo, that's supposed to be a supporting midfielder, Poch is pushing him in his. He has made him a striker from eight to nine. I know it's one number added to his number, but he needs to figure out a way to keep those two together. Injury has really messed this Chelsea team up this season, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse, because even without injury, before injury or without injury, Chelsea doesn't have a play style. We don't have a play pattern. Look at Spurs. When a coach comes in one season, yes, no doubt, they play a very high line. He can drink, he can collect goals. But at least those guys are still scoring goals. They're still trying to find and grind out a way to win games. You know, they have a play pattern. We actually know when these guys who have the ball, they're not sleeping on it and turning around and passing it back to their goalkeeper or their center backs. Poch needs to find a way to integrate one touch passing into this team or two touch passing into this team. You know, move the ball around, press the guys, and you know, and these Chelsea players, you guys need to step up, man. I know you guys are young, but outside of you being young, you're not in the small clubs. Well, the ones that have played in the smaller clubs, you're not in those smaller clubs anymore. Show some effort, show some drive that you actually want to win stuff, you know. Yes, you fought your way into the Carabao Finals. When you guys get there, don't go there and be, you know, looking like a newcomer. The club is not a newcomer club. Some of you guys are probably newcomers into that type of position, but you need to show some fight. And, you know, don't just sleep around and have people running up and down in your box, 18, and scoring goals and coming back and telling me you're young. That is bullshit. We don't want to be hearing you're young anymore. You've played 22 games this season in the Prem. That is excluding the other leagues. You've played enough games this season to know what you need to be actually doing on that field instead of relying on one player, you know, to save you. It's just frustrating to watch sometimes, but we need to step up as a team, as a club, as everything in general. And hopefully we can show something at the end of the season that, you know, the money spent it didn't go to waste, honestly, because it's looking like it's a waste, honestly, and I'm not really a fan of it. But yeah, that's my final thought, man.
Okay, thank you, Vic.
That shit was a monologue. David?
That was what?
That was a whole monologue.
David, I'm gonna come to you for your final words.
So there's a border crisis going on in Texas. Yeah. One of the things that we are trying to do, or one thing that will help expedite, is to hire more lawyers to expedite the cases of people who are seeking asylum. Because there's a lot of people who are generally seeking asylum, they're trying to come into the United States, because Central America, there's a lot of issues going on. I bring that up because right now, I'm in a rock and a hard place. Because if Liverpool win the league, they equal Manchester United's total Premier League title. If City win it, they win it for 4 years in a row. That's never been done. Fantastic. But this is the thing, though. I just saw Everton. They lost 10 points from FFP. All I'm saying to the league is that we need to hire more lawyers to investigate City. Yeah. And make sure that this FFP thing, we actually go back and dock them points. Because these guys, clearly, there's something shady going on there. I don't know why they have 120 charges or whatnot. Everton had like 10, and they lost 10 points. I guess 1 point to everyone. But this is where I am right now, guys. I think City, I'm just hoping, because this is where we've gotten to. My club has abandoned me. So right now I'm looking to the league to help me out. So, yeah, I hope that City, you know, the Premier League is watching closely what's going on. They can't be signing all the good players. They can't be doing this. So hopefully, you know, something is done about this. Yeah.
Thank you, David.
So what is going on with these final words, man? What is going on with these final words?
George, people are hurting, man. That's what's good.
There's a lot going on. Playing. Oh my god. There's a lot going on.
George! Man. George, can I have your final words?
Yeah, mine will be short. Mine will be short and brief. I'm not about to do what just happened. I just want, like, I don't even have final words, to be honest. I really don't. I just hope that Barcelona sorts out whatever is going on. That's it. So I just end it at that.
But yeah.
I'm okay.
Last year on a slow night.
Slow night.
This year on a slow night, but I still not collect 5.
I'm okay, guys. I'm very okay.
My final words, Kobe, Mainu, thank you for not
talent.
For not making today. a horrible start to the month. We appreciate you. I say we because I speak for all United fans. You are a gem. We love you. Thank you. To our listeners, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
My co-hosts, thank you for joining tonight. It's been a great episode. It's always lovely chatting to you. And we will catch you all on the next episode.